The Second World War ended more than 75 years ago. Here in Alabama, one symbol of that conflict is the state's World War II battleship, the USS Alabama. A group of men and women are working to preserve the memory of the service and sacrifices of the millions who helped win that war. APR Gulf Coast correspondent Guy Busby has more on these people and the story they're working to tell.
It's a Saturday outing for some kids as they board the battleship USS Alabama. Today's visit is a chance to see a piece of history that they may have heard about from stories told by their grandparents. Several times a year, living history reenactors in World War II uniforms board the battleship USS Alabama and the submarine USS Drum on Mobile Bay. They show visitors what life was like on these warships during the conflict. The sound you're hearing is from a video recorded during one of these events. Activities range from answering questions to shipboard maintenance to battle drills against period aircraft.
I like to tailor things if I ask, have a few minutes to rub together to talk to people.
Stephen Walczak is commander of the USS Alabama Living History Crew. Wearing the uniform of a World War II Navy captain, he explains that part of the job is educating people about the ship.
I asked them if there's any area of interest, the engine room, how we put shells on target, what the guns are like, propulsion systems, the brigs. And I love to see people, especially young people's, the eyes and the faces come alive when they learn things that they don't know or would never have suspected about ship's operations.
The reenactors also worked to restore the ship, doing the job their counterparts would have been doing almost 80 years ago.
There were two watertight hatches that were weigh about 250 pounds apiece that Curation had done refurbishing. We actually used the original roller chain hoist, brought chain hoist down a ladder into the machine shop and used the rolling chain hoist on the ship in uniform, just as they would have, to rehang these two watertight doors down there on the second deck next to the machine shop. So those are some of the things we really love to do.
Just off the stern of the battleship, crew members of the USS Drum talk to visitors about their craft.
Well, we have our crew. We've got about 15 of us here today.
Brian McWilliams is Drum Commander.
And we divide them up into different compartments, you know, the torpedo room, the galley, the control room, the engine room. And we have people in each department, and they're all knowledgeable on, you know, what went on there. And as people come through, they talk to them, you know, and answer the questions and talk about the guns on the deck here.
Visitors follow painted arrows to avoid getting lost touring the massive battleship. But on the Drum, people are amazed just how small and cramped the submarine was.
People being fascinated about the number of men that actually served aboard this vessel.
That's Drum Executive Officer Ken Griffith.
It's like 70, a little over 70 men, and there's like enough bunks for half that many people. So they would hot bunk, one would rotate out, one rotate in. In the close quarters, to imagine 70-something men below decks in this vessel serving together. We've had as many as 30 of us at an event, and we were crowded. So to have twice that number, you know, the intestinal fortitude that those guys had, what they went through, and they didn't go home and sleep in their bed tomorrow like we're going to do. They stayed on this ship for years.
Griffith says a love of history attracts most reenactors to the effort.
Well, what drew me into this, and I think most of us from childhood, was a great interest in military history of any kind, especially U.S. American history. But I think most any living historian from early childhood had a very strong interest in military history.
This is home. This is home.
Mr. James Berry of Pensacola stops to chat with a reenactor.
I grew up on diesel submarines. I came in 61.
Berry is a 26-year submarine veteran. He spent much of his life on boats like the Drum.
My first submarine was the Pomfret. That was Jimmy Carter's boat. He had to quit because his dad died. So he had to stop being an officer and went take care of the farm.
He says the food on the diesel sub was the best in the Navy, but a tour could still be difficult.
In the after end on this boat, the forward engine room, is our evaporators. We made water for cooking, water for drinking, water for the batteries. Did I miss anything? Oh, you mean like showers? No. Wasn't enough water for showers.
Back on the Alabama, another group of volunteers works deep in the ship, rebuilding the vessel's radios.
Hopefully by September, October, we'll be sending out messages using the ship's actual radio.
Tim Morgan says they plan to have the battleship transmitting again with its 1940s radios by this fall.
Haven't really been used since 75 years, since 1947. And we'll be sending out messages on the AM side in CW, hopefully around September.
CW means that if you want to tune in, you need to know Morse code.
In fact, the first day we actually hooked the radio up on here to check out the antenna that we're using, talked to a guy in the Philippines.
Morgan is a retired history and political science professor. He says working on the radio room and transmitters has been an experience of a lifetime.
I mean, it was kind of like a bucket list to come on to a museum and help restore a museum piece like this and preserve the nation's history. It's great. I've had a marvelous time doing it.
A couple of decks above, two women in Navy uniforms tell visitors about the role of women in World War II. Women didn't serve on warships like the Alabama, but Courtney Woodall says the women on Volunteer Emergency Service, better known as WAVES, still made a big contribution to the war effort.
So they freed up about 60,000 men that were able to go and fight, and they did all the onshore jobs that the men did. They ended up being gunnery instructors, so they learned how to shoot the 20 millimeter, the 40 millimeter, the 50 cal on the aviation side of things, and then they instructed the men, the new men coming in, they trained them how to use them.
Woodall and other WAVES Living History members come over from Georgia two or three times a year. She says that in a way, she's carrying on a family tradition.
My grandmother was in Korea in the Air Force. She served, but had a grandfather that landed at D-Day and made it all the way through Europe. So I had a connection to them in this time period and just wanted to bring that to the public.
Guy Busby, APR News on the USS Alabama.